and prayer always.
You know, everything that we've had to this point is sort of focused on the armor of God. We heard about the truth, the girdle of truth. We heard about the breastplate of righteousness. We heard about the sandals of peace. We heard about the shield of faith. Heard about the helmet of salvation. We heard about the sword of the Spirit. Now we hear about the prayer of, well, there isn't a prayer of. It's prayer. Verse 18 of Ephesians 6 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So where does prayer fit? Is it part of the armor? It's an interesting position that we're given here for this statement about prayer. It certainly is part of the whole element that Paul is giving in this analogy. But remember what this armor is about. We heard from the very beginning, this armor isn't just about putting on something to protect yourself. There's a special application of this armor being given during the time, the evil time, the time especially coming at the end of the age, the time when there's a great deal of difficulty going on around you in the world. You know, Jesus uses very similar language, and I think that's where Paul is pulling his analogy as he writes this letter to the Ephesians. Back in Luke 21:36, Jesus uses some very similar language to what we have here. And it is in connection with this concept of the end of days. He says, watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Notice that end game, that you would be able to withstand all the things that will come to pass and stand before Jesus with all those things equipped with you. In fact, if we look at that whole passage that Jesus gave us in Luke 21, he's talking about how we should anticipate all the things that unfold during this harvest period of time. But he cautions us. He says, you know, don't just stand there and watch. Don't just stand there and watch, like watch a tree, you know, and when it's springtime, I'm going to stand here and I'm just going to watch and watch these leaves come out. Will you ever see the leaves actually come out? No. He's saying watch, but don't stand there and watch, but be constantly aware of what's happening. Be constantly aware of what's happening to that tree. Be aware of the events that are going on without being overly attentive. And then in verse 34 of that chapter of Luke 21, notice he turns it inward. Very consistent with what we've heard about the application of this armor. In verse 34 of Luke 21, he says, be on guard so that your hearts will not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day will not come upon you suddenly like a trap. I think all the things we've heard about staying focused, staying spiritually focused in putting on this armor, not being distracted from our main duty, and that duty is to become a soldier in the army of Christ. On the other hand, he tells us, or he warns us, don't be caught off guard. One of the reasons you're putting on this armor is so you can stay alert. You know, that's one of the things that you have to do, as we'll touch as a soldier, is to stay alert. Always be on guard. Because verse 35 in that Luke 21, he says, some will. Some are going to be caught off guard. They're going to see things happening. They're not going to pay any attention to it. And they're going to be caught off guard when things finally happen that I'm telling you are going to happen. He says, for it will come upon those who dwell on the face of all the earth. So Jesus' use of this term of watching and praying, and this term of prayer, is the same idea when Paul talks about it here of watching, therefore, with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. That term watch he uses there in Luke 21 is the same word Paul uses. And the word means to be sleepless, to keep awake. Now, brethren, I don't know. Brother Harry talked about coming in on a 6 o'clock plane yesterday and having to give a discourse. Pretty tough to stay awake for 24 hours and try to do your best. So I don't think he's talking here about physical sleep. He's not telling us to keep awake physically. What is he telling us? Keep awake spiritually. Don't go to sleep spiritually. The New American Standard says, keep on the alert. You know, there's lots of watching in our day. People watch television. They watch the news. They watch the markets. They watch sports. You know, life pretty much has become a spectator sport. You'd think at any time in the history of man, with all the abilities we have to do things, to go places, to participate in all the things of life, that man would do it. Instead, we, by and large, sits and watches life go by and watches entertainment and everyone else. Well, that's what he tells us not to do. You watch for a purpose. You watch for the purpose of being alert as to what's happening in the unfolding of God's plan, but you are to be an active participant as a soldier in the army by putting on this armor and being ready. And I think that's what Paul's alluding to. That's what he's hinting at when he tells us to pray always. That's the analogy he's giving us here. You know, watching ourselves spiritually, all the things we've heard about putting on this armor, was all about watching ourselves, making sure that we're on guard, able to withstand all the things that are happening spiritually. Some of the translations say this: don't go to sleep at the switch. Be always on the watch. Be ready all the time. Beware of slumbering. Why? Well, we heard earlier, who are we doing battle with? We're not doing battle with a seeing enemy. We can't focus and see our enemy. We are battling, it says, against spiritual wickedness in high places, principalities, powers, those things we can't see. I wasn't in the Army during the Vietnam era. I was a conscience objector, but I spent about 6 months in a mental ward as part of my 2 years service. But, you know, there are a lot of people that see things. And they're always, if you're standing there and all of a sudden you'll see someone go, what's happening? Well, didn't you see that guy coming after me? Brethren, they see things, but there are things coming after you and me. It's those spiritual wickedness in high places. We can't see them. So we have to have the equipment to withstand them because we're doing that battle. And prayer, the prayer we have is not a constant prayer. I don't think that's what Paul's talking about here or what Jesus was talking about, but here talking about praying on all kinds of occasions. Every effort that you have is providing you the proper perspective on how do I react to these situations that are coming my way. The watching that you're doing and praying, Lord, how do I react to this? How do I interpret this? I think that's what Paul's telling us. You're trying to identify the problems. You're trying to identify and cleanse out the things that are inside of you. You're trying to engage them as a battle, as a soldier would, and get rid of them. You're trying to deal with those, as Irwin said, with that sword. You're trying to pull it in and cut those things out that are trying to trap you into, as we heard earlier, being killed as a new creature. So Paul's admonition to us, as he wraps up this armor, is to pray always. And then he modifies it by connection with something else. How does he say he should do it? Something more. He says, praying with supplication in the Spirit. Now, what do you mean by that? Of course, we know what the word Spirit is. The Spirit is that word pneuma that's used so many different kinds of ways. You know, if you read that the fifth volume where we talk about the Spirit and then that Spirit of the sound mind, Brother Russell goes through all the different ways the Scriptures use the term Spirit. The Spirit of fear, the Spirit of timidity, the Spirit of love, all those things. And that Spirit, so the Spirit here is not an entity as much as it is the disposition or the influence which fills us. It's that thing, how we react. It's what is inside of us that comes out. We can have a mean spirit. We can have a happy spirit. We can have the spirit of a sound mind. It's the sort of the power, the affection, the emotion, the desires, how we live our life, what comes out of us from the inside. You know, one of the purposes of our trial, brethren, is to see what's inside of us so we can take care of it. You ever take a sponge and wet a sponge and set it on the table? Sponge just sits there. Okay, nothing happens. Water stays inside the sponge. What happens if you take your hand and press down on that sponge? Water comes out. That's the purpose of the Lord's trial. He puts the squeeze on us to see what comes out. How else do you know what you have to fight? That's the unseen enemy. So when we think about David saying, "Cleanse me, Lord, from secret faults," how are you going to know your secret faults? That's what we are guarding. That's what we're watching for. That's what we're praying for help. But I think it's even something more than that. You know, this word spirit is an interesting one, and as we look at it with the analogy of a soldier, I have a nephew that just went in the Marines, and you know, it was good for him because he was a terrible kid, and he would talk terrible to his mother. And the one thing they told him in the Marines is, "You love the Marines and you love your mother." And it changed him around completely when Gretchen happened to go with her sister to his graduation. And, you know, he was like a totally different person. But the point is, there's a spirit that's developed if you're there. And I used to talk to Brother George about, you know, his experiences in the service. Your French call it, what do the Marines call it? Esprit de corps. That word, the spirit of the body. It's the energy and feeling we have together as a body. It's a common spirit because why? Because you're part of something bigger. You're not standing by yourself anymore. You are part of something that's trying to accomplish something. A group. A very special group. Do you think you're part of a special group? I think you are. As I look out there, I see very, very special people. You are part of God's elite. And that's a responsibility as well as a privilege. Paul adds to this, with all perseverance and supplication for your friends. No. Supplication for all the saints. All the saints that think like you. No. All the saints. Paul is here saying, we have difficulties, we watch, we pray. And our prayers are not just to protect ourselves, but that prayer is for the oneness of others that are in that same battle. Brethren, let's never forget that. Despite what we may think differently, we are in this same battle, the same battle of the new creature. We should have the care and concern for each one that's in this fellowship. And it's different from those outside. You know, we all have friends, our neighbors, but there's a special relationship we have with those who are inside our fellowship. We should never forget that. Paul continues with this kind of concept that we're to be watchful, similar to that soldier, to be on guard, putting on that armor. But remember, prayer isn't a weapon. He's not saying prayer is a weapon here. It's not like the sword, it's not like the shield, but it is connected to the battle because it's how we focus on the unseen enemy. You know, you can stand there in your garb, in your soldier's garb, and you're just waiting. You're waiting for somebody to come and attack you. But what if that enemy you can't see? That's what the prayer is for. You know, all armies need orders. They need the dress for battle. They need the orders from headquarters. They also need replenishment. They need food. They need ammunition. If they don't get that, the war is over. Prayer is how we communicate with headquarters. That's how we know how to restock our provisions, It's how we know where and who to fight. Prayer equips us for that battle. You know, it's also remembering others in prayer. So he said, prayers are not the selfish prayer. It's to incorporate all those fellow soldiers. I don't know if you've ever gone to a synagogue and been there with a Jewish service, but at the very beginning of a Jewish service, and I've tried to incorporate this sometimes into our testimony meetings, not the same way they do, but at the beginning of every service, before they really start the service, you know, they have what's in the front of the synagogue, as they call the bima, which Paul, we talked about Paul preaching from the judgment seat, but it represented the seat where the rabbis taught from. They would call, invite anyone to come up to the bima, put their hands on the bima, and give the name of the person who needed special prayer. You know, we have a bima in our day. It's been created through the technology we have, and that's the Bible student email list. How many of you read that and pray for that person on the other end when you see someone deflected? That's what I think Paul is getting at here. When we pray for the special equipment of those in the brotherhood. And this is the last element he gives us, because it gives us the strategy to communicate with each other and how we forge this together. Psalm 55, David connects, I think, prayer and battle in the same concept. I'm just going to read highlights from this. David is set before by some big enemy. And he says, "But I call to God, and the Lord rescues me. Evening and morning and noon I complain, and I moan, and he hears my voice." You know, many of our brethren are in desperate situations from time to time. We cry to God for help. That's all we can do. We can pray, say, "Father, please give our strength and our spirit to help them." Whether it's their fears, whether it's desperation, it's all those elements of wickedness that comes at them. Prayer is used on every occasion by battling the spiritual wickedness. In summary, brethren, Paul tells us in Acts 2:42 that the brethren in the early church devoted themselves, or were continuously devoted, to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Participating and sharing in this battle together is something we go through. We're sharing these things around God, around His work. We're helping build our lives. We're bonding together as we do that. We have to go beyond, Paul says, just the superficial relationships and realize the impact that this battle is having on all of us. So prayer's role in building our fellowships as soldiers. You know, it's easy to fight with one another. If we could put on that armor, we could battle each other and kind of go at it quite a good. But it's not as easy if we add the element of prayer. If you have a disagreement with your brother or sister, before you engage in that debate or discussion, spend a minute and pray together. And don't say, "Lord, please change him to see my viewpoint." Put it this way. Pray for peace, pray for patience, pray for kindness. Then discuss the problem. We can resolve it. Put on the whole armor of God. Pray with perseverance. Pray with supplication. Pray for all those in this battle with you.